Ezekiel 47 and the verse 5. Little phrase that we find in verse 5 that we want to center our thoughts upon. While we look at most of these verses that we've read, it really, little phrase in verse 5 is where we want to think upon and consider by the help of God. Verse 5 we read, the prophet says, afterward he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not pass over, for the waters were risen, waters to swim in, a river that could not be passed over. That little phrase, I want to take it out of the verse there, use it as our title for this morning, waters to swim in. Before we come to the preaching of the Word of God, let's still our hearts, please, and seek His help in prayer. Eternal God and our Father, we cry unto Thee just now for the help of heaven. We pray, Lord, for the help of the Holy Spirit of God. Come, O God, we pray. Make, Lord, these words, these verses of Thy Word, Lord, live in our hearts. We ask, O God, that You'll come and enlighten our eyes. Help us, O God, to behold wondrous things out of Thy law. O God, come and teach us, come and instruct us, come, O God, and lift us up. Heavenly Father, we pray that today our hearts will be challenged, our hearts will be encouraged. And so, our Father and our God, we look to Thee. Give help, O God, give help to, Lord, preach, give help to hear. Lord, we just cry unto Thee today, come, be one of our number. May the Holy Spirit of God fall upon us. Lord, today, may we know what it is, even as Ezekiel, to have those waters of blessing, even to swim in today. So hear and answer prayer. In the Saviour's name we ask. Amen. Running throughout the book of Ezekiel, there is the great theme of revival. The theme of the Holy Spirit of God moving amongst His people. And what makes that all the more remarkable is that it is given against a backdrop when everything in the work of God is so dark and so dismal. Ezekiel, as with Daniel, ministered at a time when the people were in captivity, they were in bondage. It was a time of great hardship for the people. A time when it seemed, humanly speaking, for the Church of Jesus Christ, all hope was gone. But this book reminds us that while there are times of dryness and times of barrenness in the work of God, yet the people of God and the Church of Christ must never lose hope. We must never give up in praying and working and expecting and looking towards a better day and a brighter future. Days of great blessing, days of the outpouring of God upon His people. Today, the tide of blessing is out. And as a result, it can overcome and overwhelm the child of God. We can get to the point where we feel all hope is gone. The service and the ministry of the church, the spread of the gospel, and the work of God seems to be having no impact. And so there seems to be little point in pressing on. But the scriptures of truth would tell us something different. They would tell us that we must pray long, look for better days ahead. That the darkness and the wickedness of the age has done nothing to dent or to destroy the power of God, the Holy Spirit, to move in revival power. And to send those very showers of blessing that Ezekiel speaks of earlier on in this book. Ezekiel is a book of visions. It's a book with an eye to the future. And it is a book that has a victorious theme running through it. It starts off there in the opening chapter. That vision of the wheel within wheels. That vision that Ezekiel had of the majesty and the magnificence of the Lord that he served. You see, right at the very commencement of his ministry, Ezekiel caught a vision of Christ in that opening vision of those wheels within wheels. And in Ezekiel chapter 1 and the verse 28, it is interpreted that this was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. You see, Ezekiel's ministry began with seeing God's glory, not serving. And this is God's pattern in preparing any one of us. Knowing always precedes doing. Seeing always comes before serving. Worship always comes before work. And before Ezekiel is given the ministry that God has called him to do, he is given first and foremost a vision of the Lord that he serves. Because it's that vision that is going to motivate him when the days are hard and the task is great to continue on in the work that God has called him to. You see, first and foremost, we need to catch a vision of God and his glory. And folks, when we do so, we will never be the same. Our lives will be transformed, even as Ezekiel's was. I think that's sometimes where we miss out. Well, today we hear and we see so much of the might of the enemy and the clamour and the noise of the heathen raging all around us. Yet we fail to see the power, the omnipotent power of the God that we serve. The God who can turn barrenness into blessing. The God who can turn, like Joseph, those things that seem to be against us. And God means them for good. He then sees that vision of dry bones, that tremendous chapter 37. What a vision that was. What a view he had of God in a seemingly hopeless situation. And all he saw was deadness and barrenness and death all around. And yet the power of God, the Holy Spirit, came upon those valley of dry bones. And those bones lived. What a vision. Then we come to this chapter 47 and we have the vision now of the healing waters. And yes, while there are those who will speak of this concerning a future prophecy, yet I believe that we as the church today in 2020 can claim these words. They speak of a rushing of blessing. They speak of a torrent of the power of God. They speak of such a force of God that nothing and no one can stop it. You see, at a time when the outlook seems so bleak, yet the Lord sent his blessing. And thank God today we still believe in a God who can do the impossible. We still believe in a God today who can send blessing to his church, even in times of dryness and leanness, who can send those waters of blessing to swim in. And despite today what the doom and gloom merchants might tell us, God, I believe, is not finished with his church. God has not given us over as a prey to our enemies. God is still building his church today, and the gates of hell shall still not prevail against his church. God can still send us today these waters of blessing to swim in, the power of God pouring out upon his people and upon his church. God today, in this generation, with all of its wickedness and with all of its evil, God can still send to his people today waters to swim in. As we think of these waters today, I want us to notice some things about them. I want you to see, first of all, with me here, the source of these waters. Notice something very important about the opening verse of this chapter. In verse number 1 of Ezekiel 47, it says, "Afterward he brought me again onto the door of the house, and behold, waters issued from out under the threshold of the house eastward. To the forefront of the house stood toward the east." You notice there the direction is eastward. You see, the door of the house of the Lord, which is symbolic of the church of Christ, was eastward. Ezekiel had to get his eyes eastward. You read through the Word of God and you will find that the house of the Lord, that door, is always eastward. The gate of the tabernacle always looked east. The gate of the temple always looked east. What's the importance of that? It's important because, as Malachi reminds us, that the sun rising with healing in his wings, and the literal sun rises in the east, that east which speaks of a new day and a new dawning. And the sun of righteousness will rise in the second coming of the Lord, the day when Christ will come in his glory. And you see today the church of Jesus Christ, must always have our eyes toward the coming again of Christ. We must always have our eyes in light of the second coming of Christ. We must keep our eyes on Christ. We must focus our gaze on the soon coming Christ. Listen today, you will not be motivated in the work of God by keeping your eyes on the situation you see around you. There's not one of us today who will be stirred up to do anything for God when all we see is the world around us. But when we get our eyes on Christ and we see him high and lifted up and we realize that one day he's coming back, then that will motivate us. That will stir us. That will challenge us. We need to keep our eyes on him, the sole king and only head of his church. Verse 1 speaks as well about those waters. The waters, according to John 7 and the verse 38, are in direct connection to the Holy Spirit of God. So what we're reading about here in Ezekiel 47, and I believe throughout the book of Ezekiel, is the power of God, the Holy Spirit of God, spoken of here, symbolized by the rivers of water. So these rivers are a type of the Holy Spirit, the work and the witness of the church and in the people of God. So what we're looking at today is the power and the outflowing of the Holy Spirit upon his people. But here's where I want us to get to concerning the source of these waters. Look at verse 1 again. The very end of the verse, it says, from under the right side of the house at the south side of the altar. Where do these waters come from? They come from the altar. Where is the power of God, the rushing mighty wind? These gushing waters, this force come from, it comes from the south side of the altar. It comes by the way of the altar. The altar speaks of sacrifice. The altar speaks of substitution. The altar speaks of the shedding of the blood. The altar speaks of the atoning sacrificial work of Christ there on the cross. The altar in the scriptures always bring us to Calvary. And you see, folks, real, true, genuine revival and the outpouring of God, the Holy Spirit, always originates at the cross. The blessing that we desire, those waters that we long for, will come to us from the cross, from the altar. That blessing that centers on the person and on the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no blessing today. There is no revival apart from that which starts at the cross. There is nothing today that will last apart from that which starts at the cross of Calvary. There is no revival today unless the work of Christ is uplifted in his church. Any real experience of the Holy Spirit will only come the way of the blood atonement. The Holy Spirit today comes from the merits and the work of Christ on the cross. You cannot divorce the experience of God the Holy Spirit from the work of Christ on the cross. You cannot. They are inseparable. Now I know the charismatics today will talk much about the Spirit of God. And they'll talk about an experience. But they will never uplift the person and work of Christ. That's why the charismatics are at home in the Church of Rome. That's why the charismatics are at home amongst the false religions of this world. Because they too have no center on the cross of Christ. And they'll deny the connection between the Spirit of God and the work of Christ. And as a result, all the charismatics have to offer today is a sham, false, empty experience. Nothing that lasts. It's not experience that comes from the altar. It's not experience that flows from the altar of blood sacrifice and the blood atonement. It's a man-made experience. It's a shallow, sham, empty experience, devoid of the power of Christ, all worked up by emotion. Nothing of the Lord. You trace the history of the movings of God. And you get that book on the 59 revival. And you read about revivals. And you will see it always comes by the way of the cross. True revival, real outpouring of God, the Holy Spirit, is always Christ-centered. And folks, today, that is why I believe in revival. Because the work of Christ is still powerful today. The power of God, the Holy Spirit today, is still powerful. Why? Because we stand in the victory of the cross. Today we can, with expectancy and great hope, look to the power of God, the Holy Spirit, to flow in us, to flow through us. Because that power has been purchased for us today. It matters not today who occupies the powers that be in governments, in our land and nations across the world. It matters not today who may be passing legislation in the parliaments of our nation. Listen, we today can stand in the victory of the cross, and when the Holy Spirit of God from the cross of Christ moves, then nothing and no one can stop it. We stand in the victory of the cross today. That's why we must believe in revival. That's why we must be revivalists today. That's why the Church of Jesus Christ must long for, pray for, expect revival because of the victory that Christ has wrought for us there. That altar secured the outpouring of God the Holy Spirit. And what is it today that gives us hope? It's not because of any man. It's not because of any individual. It's not because of any church. It's because of Christ today. The source of these waters, they came from the altar. May God be pleased by His Holy Spirit to pour His Spirit upon us. He can do it because that promise, the Spirit of God has been purchased for us there at the cross. There's the source of these waters. I want you to notice something over here. There's the swelling then of these waters. These waters then that flow and originate from the altar, they swell, they become deeper. And as you read, particularly from verse 2 down to verse 5, you will see that there's a tremendous sense of progress. There's such a force of these waters. It keeps on flowing. It's swelling all the time. Here's the prophet experiencing an even greater power of God resting upon him. Now as we go through these verses, I want you to notice a little phrase that comes up time and time again. It's very important, very crucial. In this whole subject. In verse 1, we read, afterward he brought me again. Verse 2, then brought he me out of the way. In verse 3, when the man that had the line in his hand went forth eastward, he measured 1,000 cubits, and he brought me through the waters. Verse 4, And he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters. The waters were to the knees. Again he measured 1,000 and brought me through. Verse 5, and afterward he measured 1,000 and could not pass over, for the waters were risen, waters to swim in, a river that could not be passed over. Did you notice there what was going on? He was brought again and again. He was led constantly and continually by the Spirit of God. He brought me. He brought me. He brought me. You see, folks, the relevance and the importance of that is that if we are going to experience the blessing of God, then we must be led by the Spirit of God. There is no blessing individually or collectively unless we're willing to be led by the Spirit. It doesn't work. So many people today, they want the Spirit for salvation, but they don't want to live their lives led by the Spirit of God. They don't want to live their lives in submission or surrender to the Spirit of God or to the leading of God. They want to do their own thing. They want to live their own way. They want to live in the light of their own strength, in the light of their own understanding. They want to live in the flesh. They want to live by feelings and not by faith. But if we want the blessing of God, we truly, genuinely, sincerely long for the blessing of God, then we've got to be willing to be led by the Spirit of God. We cannot resist or we cannot set aside the Spirit of God. That's a fearful thing. That's a dreadful thing in the life of the child of God who sets aside the leading of the Spirit of God and just goes by feelings. Because when the prophet is led by the Spirit of God, he is led into times of great blessing. Here's a man who is following on to know the Lord. Here's victory for the Christian. Look at where it can lead us. Come with us through these verses here and we see how that once he is led by the Spirit of God, it makes a change. And listen, folks, when we are led by the Spirit of God, our lives will be changed. No man, woman, young person, older person who is led by the Spirit of God will remain the same. Lives will be changed. Look at verse 3. And when the man that had the line in his hand went forth eastward, he measured 1,000 cubits and he brought me through the waters. The waters were to the ankles. He could walk through these waters. You see, this blessing, this part of God the Holy Spirit, first of all affected his walk with God. When we are willing to be led by the Spirit, our walk with God will be different. When we live by the leading of the Spirit of God, our walk with God will be affected. We'll love the things He loves. We'll hate the things He hates. The house of God, the people of God. Our walk with God will be different. Whenever we are led by the Spirit of God. You see what is happening here as we go through these verses. God is taking a dealing with His servant. But there's an even greater blessing. Verse 4. And again he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters. And the waters were to the knees. The waters now get deeper. They're to the knees. You see how this experience deepens and increases. The blessing flows. Not only does it affect our walk with God, now it affects our talk with God, our prayer life. What did Paul say? For this reason, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. The knees in Scripture always talk about our prayer life. And whenever we are led by the Spirit of God, our prayer life will be different. Whenever we're living in the power of God, the Holy Spirit, our prayer life will be different. It'll be renewed. It'll be energized. Our time with God will be different. You see, today you can't be led by the Spirit of God, experience God's blessing, and have no time for prayer. It doesn't work. I believe as well in verse 4 that we'll have a greater appreciation of the majesty and the awesomeness of our God when we bow our knees in humility and reverence before the greatness of God. It'll make an impact. So it's already made an impact on his walk with God. It'll make an impact on our talk with God. But see how these waters deepen even more. Verse 4 again. Again he measured 1,000 and brought me through. The waters were to the loins. The loins speak of strength. And they speak of the power of God and the blessing of God that will endue us with power, with strength to live for God and to serve God. And there's a very clear pattern. You or I can't serve God unless our walk with God is right. You or I can't serve God unless our time with God is right. When our walk with God and our talk with God is right, then our living for God will be right as well. Here's a man who's seeking on to know the Lord. Here's a man who knows the Lord and is strong. That's the same verse of our discipleship course, Daniel 11:32. They that know their God shall be strong and do exploits. The pattern is always the same. The more we know of Him, the stronger we'll be in Him, and the more we'll do for Him. Here's a man who's in the waters up to his loins, up to his waist. There's less of the man seen. There's now more of the waters. There's a decreasing of self. There's a decreasing of self. The church, you've heard me say this before, the church today is plagued with pride. The church today is plagued with proud Christians. Plagued with them. It's all about me. It's all about I. It's got nothing to do with you or me. It's all got to do with Him. As Paul said, He must increase, I must decrease, that in all things He might have the preeminence. What a deepening experience is spoken of here. What a progress living for God is possible here. Despite the difficulties, despite the hardships, here's a man who's living in the blessing of Almighty God. And when we live in that blessing and we're led by the Spirit, it will affect our walk with God. It'll affect our talk with God. It'll affect our living for God. Is that not what we want today? Is that not what we long for every day? We should not be content just merely to go through the rituals. We should not be content just merely to tread water, as the saying goes. We must long for more and press on and press further into the blessing of God. We must never become at ease in Zion. Here's a man, as he's led by the Spirit of God, his life is changed. His walk is different. His talk with different is different. His service is different. There's the source, the swelling of these waters, but come into verse 5 and notice now the saturation of these waters. Afterward, he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not pass over, for the waters were risen. Waters to swim in. A river that could not be passed over. Oh, here is the blessing of God now, in such a way that he is totally saturated and controlled by the power of God. waters to swim in. This is where God wanted His servant to be. God didn't want him to continue to paddle about in the waters to the ankles. God didn't want him to be in the waters to the knees. God didn't want him to be in the waters to the loins. God wanted him to be in those waters where he was saturated and he was swimming in the blessing of Almighty God. What a tide of blessing. Waters that could not be passed through. So taken up, so saturated, swept off his feet with absolute dependence and enveloped by the blessing of God. Here's a man who's living in revival blessing. Here's a man who is out and out for God. Here's a saturation with God. Here is revival. Step by step, led by the Spirit of God. Because that's where God wants His people to be at. When we are taken up with Him, when our lives are saturated with Him, you will hear me saying, if you were at the discipleship course, you'll hear me to refer it again to that book of Brian Edwards, that book on revival, and the very simple title. What does he say about revival? What is revival? A people saturated with God. That's where God wants His people to be at. And that's where we can be at, folks, today. But we need to press on. We need to keep on. Keep focus, keep the faith. Not to lose heart despite the problems. Not to lose heart despite the setbacks, but to press on for God and to see God at work and to see the outpouring of God in our lives. Too often we're happy to paddle about in the shallow waters. Maybe there are times then we venture a little further. Oh, thank God for the waters to the ankles. Thank God for the mercy drops. Thank God for those waters to the knees. Thank God for those waters to the loins. But here is where we need to be longing for and looking for waters of blessing to swim in. And through each of those different stages, we need to press on, not to stop. Thank God for what He has done, but we need to press on. Oh, too often we can feel like the disciples. Remember how they toiled all night? They caught nothing. And they labored in their own strength. And it seemed that their labor was all in vain. They hadn't one fish in their nets. And they were about to give up, and yet the Lord came. And what did He say to them? Said, launch out into the deep. Launch out into the deep. He didn't say, man, you did well. The Lord bless you, slapped them on the back and told them, keep at it. No, He said, go further. Don't allow the setbacks and the discouragements to keep you from the work. Keep at it. Launch out into the deep. By faith, expect God to work. Look to God to work. Wade through the waters. Press through the waters. See the tide of blessing rise. Why? Why? Because God, for those disciples, had a great draft of fish just ready to be caught. They had given up. They would have never seen their nets broken with all the fish that were caught in it. They'd have missed out on the blessing that God had in store for them. You see, God wasn't finished with His disciples that day. God had a greater work for them. God is not finished with His church today either. God is not finished with His people today either. The God that I serve today is the God of revival blessing. The God that I serve today is the God who works when all things seem to be against His people. The God that I serve today is the God with whom all things are possible. And we need to get out of the shadows of doom and gloom. And we need to stop paddling and start swimming. And we need to get that mindset that the church is not lost today. No church, no matter where you go on this earth, is perfect. No church is perfect. And no people in the church are perfect. We are only unprofitable servants at very best. But it's not about the church. It's about the Christ of the church. It's about Him. He is the sole king, the only head of His church. And He says to His church today, in days of empty nets, He says, launch out into the deep. Keep on. Go through the waters to the ankles. Go through the waters to the knees. Go through the waters to the loins. And experience the waters to swim in. Because He says, I'll build my church. And hell's gates won't prevail against it. Let that promise sink into your mind that despite the age and despite the antagonism, God is building His church today. Full stop. And it matters not what others might say. It matters not who may be occupying the powers that be in our land or in any nation. It matters not today, because this blessing flows from the altar. It flows from the throne of heaven, the one who is in control of all things and the one who is omnipotent. Do we believe that today? Do we really believe that our God is able to send those waters to swim in? Very briefly, as we close, notice the sequel then to these waters. What happens afterwards? When there are waters to swim in, these waters, verse 8, look where they go. Then said he unto me, these waters issue out toward the east country and go down into the desert. Desert. That place of dryness, that place of barrenness, it became the place of blessing. These waters in verse 8, we see they bring healing. And this dry land of ours needs the healing power of God, the Holy Spirit. These waters bring healing, but in verse 9 as well, we see they bring a harvest. It shall come to pass that everything that liveth, which moveth, whithersoever the river shall come, shall live, and there shall be a very great multitude of fish. Thank God for that promise today. These waters shall come thither, because they shall be healed, and everything shall live, whether the river cometh. There shall be a very great multitude of fish. Do you know why I'm standing here today? Do you know why I'm here today? Let me be very personal. Because on the 31st of March 2007... God called me, and God said, come ye after me, and I will make you to become a fisher of men. I will make you to become a fisher of men. I didn't wake up one morning and think, oh, I must go to the Bible college for 4 years, go into the ministry. If I did, you wouldn't see me. Nobody say amen to that. We're here to get souls for Christ. We're here to catch fish for the Master. God has promised there shall be a very great multitude of fish. And this is all the more amazing considering where these waters are. Verse 10, from En-Gedi even unto En-Eglim. Where were they? They were all at the Dead Sea. Nothing lives in the Dead Sea. But listen, it doesn't matter what nature says. When God the Holy Spirit flows, all shall live. And there shall be this great multitude of fish. this harvest of fish, even in the most unlikely of places. And people will say today, oh, you can't serve God there. And you can't serve God here. That's a hard place. Every minister will tell you today, wherever he's serving, it's a hard place. It is. This world is no match for the power of God, the Holy Spirit. And the blessing can fall. And the harvest continues into verse 12. There'll be food. There'll be freshness by the river upon the bank thereof. And on this side, on that side, shall grow all trees for meat or for food, whose leaf shall not fade. Neither shall the fruit thereof be consumed. Listen to this. Listen to this. And it shall bring forth new fruit. Thank God for that. New fruit. Something different, something new. God would add. God would replant. There would be meat, there'd be medicine. Verse 12, the leaf thereof for medicine, healing again. Thank God today for the promise for his church, for his people. And yes, let's claim that promise for ourselves today as a congregation. Waters to swim in. And a very great multitude of fish. And those waters shall be for the healing. And there will be a harvest. But we need to press on. We need to go on. The waters were risen. Waters to swim in. A river that could not be passed over. We need to launch out into the deep today. And see God at work. Oh, we might have toiled and labored all night. Might have caught very little. We need to launch out into the deep and see God at work. And see God send us those waters to swim in. Do you believe that our God is able to do that today? Do you really believe that with God all things are possible? Oh, may God be pleased to give us those revival waters, those blessings, waters of blessing to swim in, seeing lives transformed. People of God, our lives different, and see souls saved and won for Christ. God, give us the faith to believe it. God, give us the faith to pray for it. God, give us the faith to look for it. Not to give up. Waters to swim in. Our God is able to do that for us today. Let's bow in prayer. Eternal God and our Father, it is our prayer that you would please, Lord, to take us through the waters. Oh God, we thank thee for those waters to the ankles. But, oh God, we long to go further. And Lord, we long for that river of blessing. Lord, we long for the showers of blessing. We ask, oh God, that there'll be such a blessing there would not be room enough to receive it. And, oh God, we pray that as Ezekiel was, may we be led by the Spirit. May we see the power of God at work. May we believe God. May we take God at his word. May we press on. May we launch out into the deep. And may we see our lives affected. And may we see souls saved. May there be that great multitude of fish. Lord, we pray for that new fruit. Oh God, we ask. Do it for us. Do it for thy glory. And do it for thine honour. In the Saviour's name we pray.